Welcome to the Far and Beyond podcast, hosted by the Contracts and Fiscal Law Department of the Judge Advocate General's Legal Center and School. The podcast where we navigate the ever-shifting landscape of federal procurement and fiscal law. I'm Major Ellie Sewell.
And I'm Major Jason Floyd. And together, we're your co-hosts. Today, we're continuing our RFO, or Revolutionary FAR Overhaul series, and we're going to look at FAR Parts 10 and 11.
Exactly. We're starting with FAR Part 10, Market Research. The biggest shift here is that the FAR has been significantly streamlined to focus on statutory requirements.
Yeah, I saw that. Subparts 10.001 and 002 used to be pretty dense, and now they've really been streamlined. In fact, they're combined, right? So Ellie, tell us, where did all those specific techniques go?
So those procedures not required by law have been moved out of the regulatory FAR and into the FAR Companion Guide, which seems to be a theme that we're seeing a lot of.
Yep.
This gives teams more flexibility and discretion to use techniques that actually fit their specific acquisition instead of following a prescriptive list.
So again, just continuing with a lot of what we saw, which is moving away from a checklist and more about using professional judgment.
Exactly. But don't worry, some things stayed put. The preference for commercial products and services is still there because it's statutory.
Phew.
And also, a bit of a move-in happened. Language encouraging exchanges with industry was actually moved from FAR Part 1 into Part 10.
Oh, nice. That makes a lot of sense for putting it right there with market research. What about some of the deletions? Do you want to talk to us about those?
So yes, there was a lot deleted. Those were removed from Part 10 because they were redundant. Requirements for consolidating and bundling are already covered in FAR Part 7, removed there. And disaster relief is handled in FAR Part 26, so that was moved out. And there's a specific wording change you need to know for the clause of 52.110-1. The threshold for inserting that market research clause in non-commercial solicitations jumped from $6 million to $7.5
million. Nice.
So increasing the threshold.
Yep. All right. Well, then let's pivot to Part 11, describing agency needs. This one feels like a bigger renovation than just a little bit of the stuff that happened in Part 10.
It is. It really is. The goal was to stop being so prescriptive and start being more performance-based.
Yeah, and a lot of that was getting rid of clauses, right? I used to rely on some of those, like the delivery schedule and the availability of specifications.
You're right to fill the gap. 12 clauses and provisions were deleted from the FAR. Yeah, that is a lot. So this includes things like 52.211-1 through 52.211-4 regarding the availability of specifications, and those old delivery schedule clauses like 52.211-8 and -9.
So where would a KO go for guidance then on those topics?
So those requirements were moved to the FAR Companion Guide. The idea is to let teams tailor the schedule to the project success rate rather than following a rigid FAR formula. The same goes for variations in quantity. Clauses 52.211-16, -17, and -18 were also part of that deletion.
Man, that's crazy. Okay, all right. Well, variations everywhere, right?
Yes.
What about brand name or equal? I saw 52.211-6 was on the hit list.
It was. However, while the clause was removed from the FAR, the policy of using brand name or equal descriptions when necessary is still discussed in the FAR Companion to ensure we're still promoting competition.
Gotcha. And there's probably still some DFARS language in this that we'll probably get to when we start talking about the DFARS overhaul and how that affects everything. But is anything still the same in FAR Part 11?
Yes, the Defense Priorities and Allocation System, DPAS, and the procedures for liquidated damages remain in the FAR. Statutory sustainability requirements also stayed, though non-statutory ones were removed to give agencies more discretion.
Nice, nice. Was there anything just added out of whole cloth, any kind of new stuff? Something about like modular acquisition is what I was reading?
So yes, a few things. The overhaul emphasizes modular strategies, breaking large requirements into smaller, separately procurable components to reduce risk and increase competition. It also pushes for outcome-based contracting, which focuses on what you need to achieve rather than dictating how the contractor should do it.
All right, let's jump into the DFARS for a sec then. I know it's got its own set of deviations for these parts. What do you want to talk about?
So the DFARS RFO deviations add some critical layers. In Part 210, DOW now requires market research specifically to determine if tiered evaluation of offers is appropriate. They've also added a PGI, so Procedures, Guidance, and Information section, that is very specific about what must be in the contract file, the methods used, the time frame, and analysis of capabilities, and your conclusions.
Good summary. What about DFAR's Part 211?
There are a few notable must-dos. First, the service contracts, you must include language that creates a clear distinction between government and contractor employees, including requiring contractors to introduce themselves as such and wear distinguishing badges.
Anything else?
So yes, on the technical side, the item unique identification, IUID, and valuation requirements are still huge in the DFARS. There's a specific requirement for machine-readable unique item identifiers for items over 5,000 or those designated as serial managed. Also, for liquidated damages in construction, the DFAR sets the threshold for using that clause at $900,000.
Nice. Okay. So the FAR got leaner and flexible, but the DFAR sounds like it's holding on to some of those things that are specific to the department and their mission.
Exactly. The FAR gives you the what and flexibility, while the DFARs and the new FAR companion guide provide the how for your specific agency needs.
Okay, got it.
We're shifting from being a compliance officer to being a business advisor.
Well, I've got some reading to do then. Thanks, Ellie.
Thanks for joining me today. Thank you for joining us today in this episode of The FAR and Beyond. Please make sure to follow us and subscribe on your favorite podcast platform. We love to hear from our listeners. Please continue to reach out to us on Facebook and LinkedIn. The information can be found in the show notes from today's episode. The views expressed today are those of the presenters, not that of the Judge Advocate General for the Department of the Army, the Department of the Air Force, or the Department of War.